My ideal future is one where Indigenous people receive the same quality of care and health outcomes as everyone else, where culture is recognized as a strength, and where Indigenous and Western approaches work together to support wellness. That is so exciting. I envision a future where Indigenous and non-Indigenous families, people can work together as partners to create better outcomes for themselves, for their families, for the communities.
Welcome to QualityCast North, a podcast dedicated to showcasing healthcare quality improvement across northern British Columbia. Casting today from the traditional territories of the Kleklaytané and Tsingtian First Nations are your hosts.
I'm Cher Chewy.
And I'm Lee Cameron.
You're listening to QualityCast North. Over the last few years, there has been increasing focus within Canadian healthcare on the issue of Indigenous cultural safety. After several high-profile incidents and the subsequent BC government's in-plain sight report published in 2020, a new policy and educational framework aimed at eradicating Indigenous-specific anti-racism, or ISAR, has emerged to tackle the deep-seated attitudes and impacts of settler colonialism. At the forefront of this work is today's guest, Barb Taylor. Barb is not only a frontline hospital bed coordinator, Indigenous patient partner, and Indigenous patient advocate working across many tables in BC's healthcare system, she's also a staunch advocate of the role of healthcare quality improvement in this work. Welcome to the show, Barb, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Dr. Chewy. I'm excited to be here. Very excited.
Thank you, Barb. So as we do with all our guests, we allow you to introduce yourself at the beginning. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe a little bit about how you ended up in healthcare?
Certainly. So my name, as you stated earlier, is Barbara Taylor, and I'm an Indigenous healthcare professional, community advocate, and an Indigenous care coordinator for Northern Health. My journey has been shaped by lived experience, healing, recovery, and a commitment to supporting Indigenous people as they navigate healthcare systems. Much of my work focuses on bridging Indigenous ways of knowing with Western healthcare practices to improve outcomes for patients and families. Today, I have the privilege of supporting Indigenous patients and families within the healthcare system while working alongside healthcare teams to promote culturally safe and patient-centered care. So I'm also continuing my education through UBC's program of Indigenous Health Administration and Leadership. I feel that it's really important to keep on learning.
Thank you for that. And tell us a little bit about your current roles in supporting healthcare through your Indigenous experience and perspective specifically.
Well, I find that in my current role in supporting the Indigenous patients and families through their healthcare journey, I help to ensure that people are culturally supported, treated with respect, dignity, and fully understand their care plans and treatment options. Through an Indigenous lens, I recognize that healthcare is more than physical treatment. It's about understanding a person's history, family, culture, community, and experiences. I strive to help patients feel seen, heard, and empowered, while also helping healthcare providers better understand the unique needs of the Indigenous patients and people that they're working with.
Well, thank you for that. That sounds like a very broad portfolio.
I love it. Every day it's exciting. Every day it's exciting.
I'd like to be able to ask you, what do you see as barriers, current barriers to equitable care for Indigenous peoples in BC right now?
That one is very interesting. I think one of the biggest barriers that I've witnessed, encountered, experienced myself and watching through the patients, you know, from their stories is trust. Trust. Many Indigenous people and families, they carry experiences of historical and ongoing trauma. which can affect how they interact with healthcare systems. Another significant barrier that I've witnessed is the impact of addiction, mental health challenges, grief, and unresolved trauma. Many people avoid seeking care until they're in crisis because of fear, previous negative experiences, and about being judged. Access can also be challenging, particularly for people living in rural and remote communities. Addressing these barriers requires compassion, understanding, and a commitment to creating culturally safe healthcare environments.
So I think I've heard you talk before, Barb, about the difference between cultural awareness and cultural safety. And I wonder whether you can take us through that and elaborate on that a little bit more. What did you mean by that?
Certainly, that is a really important concept that I feel is absolutely necessary in that toolbox that Indigenous patients can carry with them. Cultural awareness is learning about another culture and understanding that differences exist. Cultural safety goes deeper. It requires us to examine our own assumptions, biases, and practices. It asks healthcare providers to create environments where patients feel respected, safe, and free from discrimination. Cultural safety is determined by the person who's receiving the care, not by the person providing it. It moves beyond knowledge and focuses on relationships, respect, and accountability from both parties.
So that sort of begins to touch on this other concept and the related concept of inclusive care, I think, doesn't it? Now, what does the term inclusive care mean to you?
Inclusive care means recognizing that healthcare involves more than just the individual patient. For many Indigenous people, family, community, culture, and relationships, it plays an important role in healing. Inclusive care welcomes family members, caregivers, elders and support networks into the care journey whenever that's appropriate, especially I find during palliative end of life. To me, the inclusive care means ensuring that everyone feels respected, valued, and included regardless of their background, their culture, their age, their identity, or their life experiences. That to me is the inclusive little bucket, little basket.
Thank you for elaborating on that. And that's thank you for sharing that inclusive piece. And you're right, palliative care is a wonderful example of where that comes into play. Now, you mentioned this a little earlier about the Indigenous worldview of health and how that somewhat differs from the Western view of health. I wonder whether you could elaborate a little bit more on that. How does that Indigenous worldview of wellness differ from the Western view?
Very interesting concept. The Indigenous worldview sees wellness as a balance of the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual aspects of life. Many Indigenous teachings, including the medicine wheel, emphasize the interconnectedness of all of these elements. Healing is often viewed as involving family, community, culture, traditional medicines, ceremonies, connection to the land, and spiritual well-being. Western healthcare, on the other hand, has traditionally focused more heavily on diagnosing and treating physical illness. While this approach is definitely important, Indigenous wellness recognizes that true healing often requires addressing the whole person.
Yeah, I love that. That holistic approach is, I think, what differentiates, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct.
So, in practical terms, it's nice to be able to give something to our listeners to take away, which they can maybe apply tomorrow or in the next week. What can non-Indigenous healthcare providers do to build that trust and confidence, which you mentioned earlier, in our healthcare system?
What I feel that's most important, first and foremost, is listen. Listen to hear, not to respond immediately. A lot of people don't listen. Take time to understand that person's story and their experiences. Be honest, be transparent and respectful. Ask questions with curiosity rather than assumptions. Continue learning about Indigenous histories, cultures, and the impacts of colonization. Be willing to acknowledge mistakes and learn from them. Small actions, such as coming in and introducing yourself, explaining procedures, making sure they understand. Sometimes, they could be deaf. They don't understand. English is a second language. There's all sorts of barriers. And sometimes we overlook that. We just assume. But also involving family members when that appropriate. Who's the next, who's the next of kin? Who's the, who provides? Who's the caregiver? But taking time to build relationships that can have a really significant impact on trust. It only takes minutes. And a lot of people don't take that time to initially build that foundation of listening, building that trust, and then moving forward. That to me is super important. And I've seen that and I've worked that with my patients.
Yeah, thank you for that. And you're right. That's something that I think we could do tomorrow, this week, with all the patients we come across, but particularly those with that Indigenous background. Now, I wonder if we can change, we'll switch gears a little bit here and talk about the broader subject of truth and reconciliation. Most people, certainly BCL, are very familiar with this concept, but there is often a little bit of confusion or lack of understanding about what the direction is for truth and reconciliation. And so I wonder if I could take this opportunity to ask you, what path do you see truth and reconciliation taking us in the future, perhaps in the healthcare sphere? And what would our ideal future look like to you?
An ideal future. Very interesting. I see truth. I've read it, listened to it, attended various workshops, living it. And I see it as an ongoing journey rather than a destination. Things are constantly growing, web flow. It requires honest conversations and meaningful actions and more so accountability. The goal is to create systems that recognize past harms while building a future that's built on respect, partnerships, and equity. I feel that's so important, and it's very easily understood that way, to understand that it's definitely a journey rather than a destination. And my ideal future, what would an ideal future look like to me? My ideal future is one where Indigenous people receive the same quality of care and health outcomes as everyone else, where culture is recognized as a strength, and where Indigenous and Western approaches work together to support wellness. That is so exciting. I envision a future where Indigenous and non-Indigenous families, people can work together as partners to create better outcomes for themselves, for their families, for the communities. Really feel that's important.
Thank you for that. And that really is a compelling vision for the future. So thank you. And I wonder whether we can bring it back around now to you. And you've given us some wonderful insights into how we can improve and where we could be going in the future. But I wonder whether we could just go back to you and all the different roles that you have right now, including clinical ones, as well as seats on important committees and across the province. What matters to you in our healthcare system right now, Barb?
Every day, I see different things, I hear different things, and I feel that healthcare, What matters to me and is really important is healthcare is ultimately about human connection. Regardless of where we live, people want to be seen, heard, and treated with dignity. When we listen to one another, learn from different perspectives, and we work together, we create stronger healthcare systems and healthier communities for everyone. Healing our healthcare system isn't just about policies or programs. It's about relationships. Reconciliation happens one conversation, one act of respect, and just one patient experience at a time. But when we build trust, we create space for healing, not only for Indigenous people, but for all of us. And I feel that that is where we're, that's the direction we're going. I hear it on the different committees that I'm on. Everyone really is interested in going the same way. They all want the same thing, but it's just that we're coming in on different paths, but we all have the same goal. And I think that's wonderful because we all can see it. And so it's just, and hearing everyone else's perspectives, because I don't think there's one right way, because all of our thoughts, opinions, like everything, everyone matters. And I think at the end of the day, you put all that into the pot, the golden pot, and I think it's a win-win for everyone. Because as long as we're open to continuously learning with respect, dignity, and acceptance, I think we're going places. So I'm excited to be part of this journey, this healthcare journey, and it's never ending. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for that very inspiring outlook on where we are with this issue with ISAR, with truth and reconciliation in healthcare. And thank you. And you're just the right person, I think, in these roles, Barb,
Thank
as
you.
you've shared with us today. So thank you. And that's a great place to wrap up our interview today. So thank you again for coming on the show, sharing your
Oh.
story, your journey, and your perspectives. You've informed and inspired and challenged me through your advocacy. So thank you for that.
Oh, thank you both. I really appreciate this, and thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Barb Taylor, Indigenous Patient Partner for the Specialist Services Committee QI Working Group and Steering Committee Member for Northern Health's QI Program. And to find out more about the subject of today's interview, check out the episode's show notes or on our website. But until next time, it's goodbye from us here at QualityCast North, our guest Barb Taylor, and your host, I'm Cher Chewy.
Hi.
Hi.
Madly off in all directions. Look at us.
Oh, but you know what? It's so wonderful. I was asked to sit on a working committee for MAID, and that's so important. You know what I mean? Like,
Yes.
especially from a cultural perspective, I was,
Oh my God, Barb.
it's absolutely something up my alley because, I know if my late husband could have chose MAID, he would have. And
Yeah.
it would have been such a beautiful ceremony. And it's really something that I find that historically, the Native people were so against it. And now
Oh,
it's,
okay.
yes, because there
I
was
didn't realize
so
that.
many cultural things that weren't, congruent with the letting go that way. But it's becoming more and more more acceptable. I'm finding that so many do support it, so many people oppose it, and there's many nuanced views as well. So we'll see. But I'm finding that, the relationship with the communities, the sacredness of life is the big thing. Like, how do we, life is considered a sacred gift, and there might be some spiritual, cultural concerns. We'll find out. But traditional teachings, definitely influence how we look at MAID itself. But also as well, I'm finding that others support it, as an extension of the personal autonomy. So we'll see. Well, it's part of the truth and reconciliation. We have offered to give Indigenous people sacred spaces to practice. And reconciliation to me and healthcare is it means creating space for the Indigenous families and the people. And if that's their choosing, it's their end of life decision. So I think we have to do what we have to do to honor them. I'm excited because, it's something that, I'm New Chatnall, and the New Chatnall people, we never leave our people alone when they're transitioning. And here so often we see people get dropped off. See you later. It's been a blast. And, we go in there and we'll hold their hand because we don't want anybody to be alone. And so just that, options, what can we do? And so there is some cultural, beliefs. Everyone has them. I'm new to the Lhtako Dene territory. I worked with Treaty 8 for 25 years, so I became familiar with the Slavey, the Dene-Za, the Cree. And so I'm familiar with what their culture is, but I know they would welcome it if it was, presented in a way that was, aligned with who they are and what they represent. So I'll keep you posted. It'll be exciting.
If you enjoyed today's episode, check out our other episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts, and subscribe to our channel. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question for us about healthcare quality improvement, email us at qualitycomms@northernhealth.ca, and your question could feature on a future episode. QualityCast North is sponsored by the Physician Quality Improvement Initiative, or PQI. PQI is a flagship program of the Specialist Services Committee, a collaboration between the Provincial Ministry of Health and the Doctors of BC, with representation for the provincial health authorities. This episode was co-produced by Dr. Sher Chewy and Lee Cameron, with technical support from Levi Giles and Matt Walker of Expression North. Original music by Daniel Chewy. Further information about today's guest is available in our show notes on our website at nhpqi.ca.